Welcome to the Leaders Huddle podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. Today with us, we have Colonel Retired Tony Burgess and Colonel Retired Nate Allen, authors of Taking the Guide On. This is part of a two-part series on their experiences in leadership to this date. Feel free to listen to part one if you missed it. This is the Leaders Huddle podcast, Taking the Guide On 15 Years Later, part two.
And segueing to the spoke on motivated or motivation, and we've talked about this a little bit already on the self-awareness, can you break down Delta Whiskey Yankee Sierra Yankee Whiskey Delta, or DWYSYWD, which is do what you say you will do, and why that's important?
I think that I'm cracking up here as I hear you do that in the phonetic alphabet. The do what you say you will do, I think we got that from Kuzes and Posner in their book The Leadership Challenge. And I think they consider that one of their laws of leadership, like doing what you say you will do, and perhaps the most important thing you can do in terms of trust building. And if you look at the book, like one of the themes from the beginning to the end is about trust. And so do what you say you will do, do the right thing, DTRT, and don't sweat the small stuff. Those were the three kind of acronyms that we put together. You know, if you do what you say you'll do, if you do the right thing, and you don't sweat the small stuff, you're going to create a sense of trust that runs from, you know, the top to the bottom and bottom to the top.
Trust is the foundation or the glue of any great team. And so it would only make sense then that we as leaders would want to very intentionally focused on developing trust. And it starts with us.
Thanks, gentlemen. My final question for you all is, a lot of the lessons you guys speak about within this book are very timeless, especially the ones you just spoke about with, you know, building trust and things of that nature. They're timeless. They're things that people always want to have in a leader. But your book was published back in 2001. It's pre-9/11. And in fact, y'all have an AOL.com email address on the back of the book listed. I didn't even know people still used AOL. but the operational environment's changed, the technology has changed, it continues to disrupt both the business sector and the military sector, and then generational attitudes are shifting towards service and leadership. And in fact, the preponderance of the military population is now of the millennial generations, especially in the company and field grade leadership positions. So after 16 years of reflecting on the principles that Taking the Guide On presented, if you could write a second edition of the book, what would you add and what would you reemphasize?
One thing that we have talked about, guys, is it would be so cool to what's glaringly missing is something around leading in combat. And there's so many insights that emerge from the generation of leaders who really develop the body of knowledge at the company level around how to lead in the combat environment, contemporary combat environment. And we felt so privileged to be a part of seeing that body of knowledge grow through the company command and platoon leader online forums. And or very organically, in fact. So we to see that as a manifestation of members of the profession stepping up to share with each other so that they could go into combat more prepared was an unbelievable privilege. One part of that work is several of our team members went over to both Iraq and Afghanistan to interview in frontline platoon leaders and company commanders around their learning experiences and what they were learning and developing as leaders. And so certainly something that could be added to this book would be a framework of helping leaders think about leadership and learning in an environment that's dynamic, it's hazardous. There's an ongoing adaptation that has to occur both for self and the team. And so one of the frameworks that emerged in some of the interviews I did was around what's the environment like to lead in combat. And some of the big, just to give you a sense, some of the big themes that came out of that was the environment itself. The nature of the environment was created a sense of profound responsibility for each leader. that we interacted with. So it was this idea of there's so much at stake in my decisions, and it's not, you know, it's somebody died as a result of this decision, or there was a mission component to this where the local populace was affected because of a decision I made. So an overwhelming sense of profound responsibility was one theme. Information oscillation was another component that emerged in those interviews with these frontline leaders, meaning picture waves oscillating. You either have too much, not enough, or it's incongruous. So I'm either pulling for information, I need more, I have too much, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of information coming at me, and I'm not sure how to make sense of the situation, or I have conflicting information. So this idea of information oscillation emerged. We called it molten, but this idea that the situations are volatile, in the sense you could have periods of complete quiet, bordered by total intensity that you can't quite predict when it's going to hit. So that idea of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, chaos. And then the fourth theme that emerged in terms of what it's like to lead in that environment was intense affect. Emotions that range, that's caught leaders by surprise. Emotions that range from sheer relief, joy, and love to intense rage in self and others. And how to manage that emotion caught many leaders by surprise. So those are four of the themes that emerged from our interviews with frontline leaders in terms of what it's like, what the environment of leading in combat is like. Once again, this idea of it's molten in nature, it's a profound sense of responsibility, overwhelming sense of responsibility, intense affect, and information oscillation. And then in terms of what was being developed, In a sense, you could argue what the environment demanded was judgment, innovation, resilience, and compassion. And just in brief, judgment is both the cognitive ability to make sense of a situation that's emergent, and then emotional judgment to manage emotion in self and others. Interviews included leaders describing situations in which they had to manage and find a way ahead on an emotional level that they simply weren't prepared for. And obviously we don't talk a lot in our professional development circles around, you know, the military, around how to manage emotion and self and others, and yet it's core to leading in combat. And so I think that would be a great add to the book in terms of how to use breath, for example, to manage one's nervous system. So that's one in terms of judgment. Innovation is managing an ongoing learning process. Since combat is a learning race, I've got to have a disciplined process with my unit in terms of constantly learning and adapting, because the enemy is adapting as we adapt. And so it's an hourly, daily rhythm of learning and assessing and adapting. And so it's this idea of innovation management. Resilience is an interesting, you know, it's less about taking one big blow and coming back. It's more about we take a big blow today, and we know for a fact we're going to take a big blow. Maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's a week from now. And to a leader, every leader we interviewed had this question at some point in their combat deployment. I'm not sure if I can keep going. I'm not sure if my unit can keep going. And of course, the answer is yes. But the yes is found in identifying ways to sustain self and team in an ongoing basis. So it's kind of an ongoing resilience or hardiness for the unit. And the final one that emerged was around compassion, which is love in action. And the reality is there's a love that's necessary and that is engendered through leading in combat effectively. So that's a framework that has emerged for us since we are writing the book as a result of our interviews with many frontline commanders in combat, and certainly something that you could see would be meaningful to add as a part of the professional discourse.
Yeah, I'd like to just transition back to thinking about the company command forum as we bring this to a close. We're getting close to it. The idea of coming together in conversation about our experiences, that really was the seed that started the company command forum for Nate and I and the team of awesome guys that came together to share our experience. The idea that if we're in conversation talking about our experience, it actually shifts our effectiveness. That being in conversation about our experience makes us more effective commanders and has a direct impact on our companies. Our companies are better because we're engaged in a professional conversation with our peers. And the latest iteration of the company command form, this vision, the profession in action learning together, is the junior officer leader form. You know, and this podcast is a phenomenal example of that continuing to grow. And if you're listening to this podcast, Nate and I know Wes and Dave, we want to invite you, company commanders, platoon leaders, past, present, future, to be a part of the conversation, to listen, but also to share, to find ways to give back and contribute, and make sure that the insights that you're having, the progress that you're making, is shared with the profession, so collectively we can grow and advance and become all that we can possibly be.
That was cool, Tony. Hey guys, a couple of quick things that may add value, and I know you can use these things in any way you want. But one of the other real foundational concepts that we found in command, and then upon reflection upon it, was another super high payoff activity, shall we say, is focusing on leader development. And in the book, we lay out, you know, a process of leader development that's centered on experience. And of course, experience is a primary driver for our development, and it's new and challenging experiences that grow us most. By new, you know, we've all probably had that sense of déjà vu, the opposite of déjà vu. You know, I've never been here before. I have no idea what to do. Awesome. It's going to grow and develop me in ways that I can't quite predict. Challenge. The job feels bigger than me. Awesome. Because I'm going to grow into it. But then to really leverage experience for development, I've got to reflect upon it and get feedback. And then I need to prepare for the next experience. So it's an ongoing iterative process of preparation, experience, and then reflection. And so if we know that we have the curriculum for our development and our leaders' development, then we can partner with that process to actually accelerate it for the leaders we're investing in. So I did once a month, I met with each of my direct reports. And I just simply, it was a one-on-one where we looked back and we looked forward is all we did. And I used that process to look back, to reflect upon prior month's experience. And then the look forward was preparing for the upcoming month's experiences. And so, and then I would just keep a folder for each person. And then when we met, of course, we would start with, when we looked back, it would have been the prior month's preparation conversation. So I would just ask, hey, what are some of the key things coming up? Or, you know, key things that from last month that occurred. And of course, I would have observed as well and able to provide feedback and then ask questions. What did you learn from that? If you were to do it again, what would you do differently? So I'm coaching in the moment and asking questions for to support their reflection on the prior month's key events for them as a leader. And then, hey, what do you have coming up next month? Let's look at this. What are you preparing for? And then start to brainstorm and give them ideas on how they can prepare and who they might be able to talk to and other resources to support their preparation for the upcoming month's events. And then I would always ask, what are you doing with your leaders as well? So we would end our one-on-one focused on talking through each of, you know, if I'm meeting with a platoon leader, for example, we'd talk through what are they doing with their platoon sergeant for their growth and development, and what are they doing with their squad leaders? And you can imagine over time, if I'm doing that once a month, with each of my direct reports, it's amazing what that does in terms of just having a coaching, mentoring, and alignment conversation. And that conversation would save a lot of time throughout the month because we were already aligned. We had already talked through the key events for the coming month. So I actually felt like it was an investment that saved me time. And in terms of creating a greater level of engagement and a sense of connection with my leaders, I felt like that was game changing. The other piece that Tony and I kind of resonated with is this idea of third generation leadership or investing in leaders who grow leaders. So first generation leadership is kind of about me. So if I delegate a task, it's, you know, I might say, you better not screw this up so you don't make me look bad, for example. Second generation leadership is I'm investing in those leaders I have the privilege of serving with to for their growth and development, so they reach their full potential and contribute to the greater profession in unbelievable ways. And the vision is always that whoever I'm investing in becomes greater than me. So the vision of mentorship is that they become greater because they get what I have and they have what they have. And then the third generation leadership mindset just adds a subtle shift to that, which is I'm passing on a vision and a capacity for themselves to grow leaders who reach their full potential and contribute to the profession more broadly. So you can see you can create a leadership engine within your team by having this third generation mindset, investing in leaders who have a vision and capacity for themselves to grow and develop leaders. And that was something that really, as Tony and I invested our time in the company command forum, that we sought to bake into the DNA of that experience. The final story that I thought might be meaningful, and you certainly don't need to include this in the podcast, but my first company commander had a huge impact on me. And, you know, Tony said, don't sweat the small stuff. And that is true. Pat McGowan, my first commander, also didn't sweat sometimes the big stuff, which built trust with me in one specific example, because he had a bigger picture in mind. And one of the first missions I was given as a young lieutenant reporting into Fort Drum was to run a live fire exercise. And at that time, the missile for a missile, that anti-tank missile, that was so expensive at that time that we could only fire one a year. So as you can imagine, it was a huge trust given to me to as a new guy coming in to lead this. And everything was going smoothly. It was we had a kind of a complex movement into position, and then we were waiting for the VIPs to fly in. It was a super dark and cold, drizzly night. And finally the VIPs flew in. We got the thumbs up to go ahead and fire the missile, and the soldiers went to turn on the thermal sight. You could hear the fan that kept it cool whir on, and then it died. The batteries were dead. So thank God we had a spare set of batteries. Never have a single point of failure, you know, redundancy. And they slapped those extra batteries in. I was super relieved we had brought those. But the same thing happened. The batteries had not been charged properly. So no batteries, obviously, no thermal sight. With the level of illumination that night, there was no way we could fire the missile without the sight. So I had to call my commander back at the line with the VIPs and say, we can't fire the missile. He's like, Roger, load the soldiers up in trucks and I'll meet you at the after action review tent. We'd set up an after action review tent with the terrain model. We're going to go back and talk about how great the mission was. And I'm trudging to the tent, and I'm too new really to understand fully the implications, but I know none of them are good. And, I waited quite a while, and finally Pat showed up. He sat down with me in the after action review tent there. And, all he had, he just looked at me and said, what'd you learn? And we had one of the most professional conversations I've had in my life around roles and responsibilities as a leader. And even though that missile wasn't an organic part of my platoon, what I can do to set up a process whereby we ensure it's mission ready and that I'm responsible to do that. It wasn't until later, though, that story had a huge impact on me. One of my colleagues, the company XO, was back there with my commander when I called in. And his commander's commander, the brigade commander, had his hand on his forehead and was screaming into his face about what a failure this was. And as you guys know, that's the revaluation that will determine his future. So the guy who's going to determine his future screaming in his face about what a failure this is, he had the presence of mind to turn and come down to me and ask me what I learned. And I tell you what, I've been paying that forward ever since in terms of endorsing the honest mistakes of my subordinates, in terms of having a bigger picture in mind than the moment. That was profound and life-changing for me, that moment, and has really influenced how I led from there on out.
Well, Joe, sir, thank you very much for sharing that story, and I really do appreciate the you know, senior raider or whoever having the mindfulness to not absolutely explode on a junior officer and take that lesson learned. We want to transition to our last question that we ask just about everyone who comes on the podcast, and that's really to help point our listeners to further resources about some of the principles we talked. And we've already mentioned the Leadership Challenge. I think, Stephen Covey, you're talking 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. If there are other books or podcasts or articles, handful each that really are profound, life-changing for you or really relevant to the current operational environment, I'd ask if you could share that. And then at the end of your response, if you could share how our listeners could get in touch with you via social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever medium you guys are on.
This is Tony. I'll go first. The number one resource I want to invite you into is what I already mentioned, the Junior Officer Forum. So it's jo.army.mil. Like, plug into that forum, ask questions, share what you're learning, engage in the ongoing stream of conversation, which is our profession getting better. I'll share one book recently I read, Multipliers by Liz Wiseman. She has a new version, updated version of that coming out, I think, next month. A great read. And as you're coming into company command or even as a platoon leader, think about the books that you could read with your guys. And one of the greatest things about this book is just giving you the language to relate to each other around this topic of, am I a multiplier or am I a diminisher? Is what we're doing here multiplying our capabilities and bringing out the best in our subordinates? Or are we potentially diminishing our subordinates and really getting less than we could as a team? So great book to read with your team. Right? You mentioned Jim Collins, Peter Senge came up in the conversation, the fifth discipline. And of course, Kuzes and Posner. The Covey book that I read with my platoon leaders was Principle-Centered Leadership. You really can't go wrong with any of the choices. It's the point is that you're doing it. So whatever book that really interests you and that you can get passionate about, pick it up, read it with your team, take notes in it, share, and really be a catalyst for professional learning. It's an awesome thing. It's a privilege that we have, and it goes quick. So dive in and have fun with it.
Yeah, I love that. The call to participate in the professional forum and the ongoing conversation is one that's timeless. And as we were talking about earlier, each generation needs to discover that for themselves. In fact, we had talked about how there would almost be benefit to kind of closing down, you know, closing down the forum in a sense of each generation, then reinventing it for themselves and creating what's going to work for them in their current context. And so we had kind of this mindset that, hey, if you're passionate about leading and loving soldiers and building combat ready teams, then this is your professional forum. If you're not, please go away. We really wanted to connect with, we had a passion and a heart to connect with like-hearted leaders who wanted to learn and grow and just keep taking their game to the next level in terms of the professional calling that they had answered. So we felt such a privilege to be a part of that movement. And it's an ongoing movement that will go on generationally. One book that I think is pretty profound and a very quick read is Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was Jewish heritage. He could have gotten out ahead of the Nazi invasion on a professional visa, but he felt it was his duty to stay with his parents. So he and his young bride stayed with his parents. They were captured, sent to concentration camp. He was sent in the direction of the able-bodied men. His parents and wife perished probably within hours of arriving, unbeknownst to him. And he then survived. And the story is his journey through more than one concentration camp. And his insights and reflections on that are incredibly profound. And I think are timeless for any leader to reflect upon for themselves. He describes how everything can be taken from man or woman, but one thing, and that's one's ability to choose one's own attitude, and regardless of the situation. He also talks about how our ultimate quest in life is not to avoid pleasure or seek pain, or seek to avoid pain or seek pleasure, but to seek meaning, and that meaning is derived in three things: what we create with our life, the relationships we foster, and what we do with our suffering, or in his words, that I might be counted worthy of my suffering. So when we're 70, 80 years old, looking back at our life, that's what's going to really matter to us. And so if I could live my life in such a way that I know my future self will hold me accountable to this moment now, it will dramatically influence how I lead in the moment. And so I would recommend that book for any leader.
So that's the second time that book's been recommended to me. So I definitely got to add it to my reading list. And gentlemen, we could not thank you enough for being so generous with your time. Would you mind to point our listeners to whether it's Twitter or Facebook, LinkedIn, how they can connect with your social media if they want to share some ideas or just follow what you guys are working on in your post-Army professional lives now?
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter. I use it as a mechanism to really help me learn. It's Tony P. Burgess is my call sign. Tony P. as in Paul Burgess. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and you could also easily email me at nate.allen2@gmail.com. nate.allen2@gmail.com. And hey, let me just throw this out there. Tony, I'm real wide open here, but I'm just, what's coming up for me in the moment is if any leader out there wants to do a leadership reading program with their company, with their platoon leaders or with their platoon leaders and platoon sergeants, and they'd like to use Taking the Guide On, Tony and I would be happy to provide free copies of the book to the first 10 leaders out there who respond, and you can respond through CalDoll, and then we'll get the books mailed to them. That sound good to you, Tony?
Sounds awesome.
All right. Well, once this episode, first of all, I want to say that's very generous of you gentlemen. And once this episode posts in mid-April, we'll make sure we follow up with a Twitter challenge to tag CalDoll or email. We'll put out some directions on our Twitter. And we just actually launched our own Twitter handle for the podcast, which is @leaders_huddle. Like I said, gentlemen, we want to thank you again. Very generous with your time. Thank you for really paving the way for whether it's officers in the Military Writers Guild or other bloggers, podcasters, and the Junior Officer Forum to connect the community in a professional setting to share solutions and support one another in this challenging profession. With that, Wes and I are going to sign off here. We'll let you close with a closing message, and we'll close out this episode.
Thank you, guys. Just an absolute privilege. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks to this generation of frontline leaders. We're in awe of what you're doing and the call that you've answered to lead soldiers and answer the nation's call in this current environment. And anything we can do to serve and support you would be a privilege.
For all of our listeners out there, if you're interested in using Taking the Guide On with your company as an LPD pro reading book, share and send us a message directly on our Twitter handle @leaders_huddle, and we will collect your unit's information, and the first 6 responses will receive 5 copies of the book. We look forward to hearing from you. This wraps up today's Leaders Huddle podcast. In the next episode, we interview 3 military spouses on topics of interest to military spouses, from making the best out of each duty assignment, to juggling a career as a spouse, to serving as a part of your unit FRG. This episode is full of energy and great tips for soon-to-be spouses and the spouses of current company grade officers. You can connect with us at iTunes, and we're also on the Google Play platform. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics you would like us to discuss, so please leave a comment on iTunes or through the CalDoll's sponsored Facebook page @JuniorOfficerForum and the Twitter handle @JO_forum and our other Twitter handle @leaders_huddle. Until next time, remember that elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. Have a great day.
The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.